It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Texas Tech football games from Twin Peaks, Marsha Sharp Freeway, and the Canyon West Shopping Center, home of the 29-degree draft beer. No better place to catch a ball game in Lubbock than right here at Twin Peaks. In fact, there's one going on right now. Rangers and Angels tied 3 apiece in the bottom of the 6th inning. And I believe that Mr. Josh Young is up next to bat.
Yeah, he had a rough night last night. Took the sombrero.
Not the first time.
No, that's not. And I think in all seriousness, AD, one of the things we talked about for him is, you know, getting his feet wet, checking off a lot of those boxes, all of those firsts, and going through a little bit of a grind here. And with that is, yes, first home run, RBI, you know, good stuff. But also having a couple of crappy days, too. I'm sure he had dealt with that through pro ball, but his first big league hat trick, golden sombrero, you know, it's the ultimate test. And, okay, you know, come back tomorrow, reset it. And you remember Josh was the guy that carried around the little foam rubber toilet and would set it up in the dugout and would, like, after each at bat, would walk over there. And I don't know what you do.
Essentially just flush.
Yeah, no, and that was it. I mean, that was sort of the thing, just flush it and move on, because – good or bad, the next at bat's coming. So, yeah, hopefully he's ready to go here.
Love to get your thoughts and comments today on the EH Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com or through the DoubleT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. There are several college football games tonight, Gus, after a bit of a hiatus last week. You've got some good ones tonight. You got one good one and then a couple of okay ones, I guess. Not to sell it short, but you know, you have the Mountaineers tonight.
Yeah,
they're back on Thursday. They're traveling to Virginia Tech, and you know, both of these teams have not had the best start. I mean, VaTech loses in the opener to Old Dominion, which is not what you expect if you're the Hokies. And then the Mountaineers are 1-2, right, with losses to Pitt and to Kansas. And, I mean, despite this game being in Blacksburg, Virginia, Mountaineers favored by 2.5 in this game.
Well, West Virginia won this game last year about this point in September, about 3 weeks in. A nice little home and home for them. And, you know, pretty respectable non-conference schedule for the Mountaineers, having done the backyard brawl and this one. But again, you make these schedules out 5 years in advance, and when they made this out, that VaTech probably looked a little more daunting than it's become, right?
I think there's no doubt. Josh Young at the plate right now. We'll keep you posted. But it kind of goes back to what you've said in the past, Gus, in that, yeah, it's a respectable quality non-conference schedule for the Mountaineers, but it doesn't mean anything if they lose to Pitt and VaTech,
yeah,
because at that point – you've got two losses, and nobody's going to give you a pat on the back in December if you're 5-7.
Yeah.
Whereas you would have been 6-6 with a cupcake in one of these two games. I mean, the beauty pageant points don't really matter unless you're one of those top 10 programs that's competing for a spot in the playoff or in a top level bowl game. But for a program like West Virginia this year, you just want to get to the postseason, show some signs of life, some signs of progress, and. You know, this schedule is not very conducive to that activity.
Yeah, that strength of schedule metric that we're used to talking about in March and again in May and late May, and the sports of basketball and baseball don't really matter a whole lot in football. Nobody gets chosen for a bowl game. Let's take the playoff scenario out of it, and that's the most important part.
Right.
But if we're talking about, you know, two teams that are 8-4, and you go, hey, one of us is going to the Alamo Bowl or whatever. And you go, oh, okay. They don't pick through that and go, well, who played the tougher schedule? unfortunately, they're going, well, who's going to sell more tickets? Who's going to create more eyeballs? Who's going to get more TV sets turned on? And that's the decision-making deal. And so there's the fine line in college football scheduling that has to do with what's it going to take to get us ready to play in conference, you know, versus playing three cupcakes and then getting to conference and you haven't really been tested. And so there's probably the happy medium there.
Well, and that's what I like about the model that Tech seems to be adopting. And I don't know that it's consistent, you know, over the course of every season. But like this year, for example, Murray State, FCS team, outside of maybe three or four FCS teams every year, you should be able to kind of name your score most seasons if you play well. And then you get, you know, a scrappy, challenging group of five program. Houston probably on the upper end of that deal.
Sure.
You'll play Wyoming next year. And then you play a Power 5 team, and it kind of has this, like, stair-step level quality to it.
There's, if the future non-conference schedule portion of the media guide here is, or the media notes is correct, then it's exactly what you described. The Wyoming next year, the home and home of Oregon, Oregon State, home and home after that, NC State in 2027. So there's a Power 5 team each of the next 5 years on one end of it. On the other end, or in the middle, is a Wyoming, Abilene Christian, Colorado State, Abilene Christian at North Texas. And then on the light end of it, I guess you would say Tarleton State, Pine Bluff a couple times, those
right.
games.
And usually those FCS games are not lined up nearly as far in as advance mm-hmm. as the Power 5 programs. Josh Young made contact, but thrown out at first, end of the inning. Rangers tied 3-3 with the Angels going into the seventh.
Yeah, I'm with you that I like the format, just the general non-conference format for the what it's been the last few years and for the near future in terms of one Power 5 home and home as part of a home and home. Not really interesting. I don't mind the neutral sites every once in a while, the
right.
Ole Miss deal that a couple years ago, whatever. But I'm not interested in the hey, let's go play Ohio State there and they don't come back. But I also don't want three Indiana States, and we've had little dashes of both through our
sure.
history. Leach would stack up some of those three FCS type programs, you know, every once in a while, and so it happened. But I like what we've got next year. The at Wyoming on Labor Day weekend is intriguing next year for a lot of reasons. I mean, we'll all be excited about everybody's excited about the beginning of football season every year, but that being a road game. And on Labor Day, there might be a little nice little – if we're sitting around like this year going, dang, it's 102 degrees out there, the thought of Wyoming it sounds kind of nice, doesn't it?
What is the average temperature, you think, in Wyoming?
I bet you at that time of year, I would think it's, what, I would guess low 80s, mid 80s as a high on Labor Day?
Yeah, apparently like 80 is
– There we go.
Like that's, the upper end.
That'll sound really good when it's 98 here next
yeah.
year.
Rarely, daily high temperature in September. Rarely falling below 48 degrees or exceeding 82 degrees. Daily low, rarely falling below 23 degrees or exceeding 48.
What's your, what was the last road game you went on? Or went to, attended?
The last road game that I attended was probably the TCU game in 2012.
Okay. I think I went
I think that's right.
I think I went to Austin around that same time.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, it's the Juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today, as we do every Thursday before home Tech football games from Twin Peaks, the Marsh Sharp Freeway, in the Canyon West Shopping Center, home of the 29-degree draft beer. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, Scenic Views. Time for your look at today's biggest sports headlines, brought to you by our friends at Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. Texas Rangers Baseball Club, they're in action right now. As a matter of fact, in Arlington, they're tied up 3 apiece with the LA Angels, top of the 7th inning, 2 outs. We have the game going on for you right now on 100.7 The Score, or, and this is the best option,
yep,
you can come to Twin Peaks and watch this game right here. Maybe have a late dinner or an early dinner, a late lunch.
Have one of those cold, frosty ones.
No doubt.
With the icy foam on it.
Or 2 or 3.
That is a good combination there.
The weekly edition of Red Raider Football with Joey McGuire will air tonight beginning at 6 o'clock here on Double T 97.3. It'll run until 7 o'clock, 4th of 11 broadcasts this season. Of course, every episode, McGuire is joined by an assistant coach and a player. And today those men are Emma Jones, your receivers coach, and also Miles Price. They will join the program during the second half of the show. If you're outside of our listening area and cannot listen on Double T 97.3, you can also access this show and listen live via Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus or through the Varsity Network app. Boston Celtics coach in some hot water. Ime Udoka is likely facing a suspension for the entire 2022-23 season for his role in an intimate relationship with a female member of the franchise's staff. That is considered a violation of the organization's guidelines, and the proposed penalty for Udoka is largely unprecedented for a sitting head coach in the NBA. Formal announcement could come at any time.
That consorting with a member of the staff is like a serious thing.
Yeah.
You hear about it in college. And this isn't any sort of an assault. This is
It was consensual.
This is consensual to adults, the whole deal. So not criminal, but those rules are serious.
The NCAA placed LSU's football program on 1 year of probation and issued a 3-year show cause against a former assistant coach who, it says, admitted to meeting with a prospect and giving him team gear during a COVID-19 recruiting dead period. All right. You two can join the program. We'd love to hear from you today. Let us know what you think on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. Of course, the juice brought to you by our friends at Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. We talked a little bit about Aaron Judge yesterday. Of course, yeah, he's hit 60 home runs.
Yeah.
And now, the watch is on for his 61st.
Yeah, it's like he postponed it a day, he postponed it to get it to the Red Sox, it feels like.
And it's interesting, there's like a media angle here, too.
Okay.
Because I told you that ESPN was going to cut in to Aaron Judge's at-bats, I guess it was yesterday, because I think their normal programming was like, I don't know, League Cup or some kind of MLS soccer thing.
Something that could easily be
easily,
cut away from.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there are some people there that care very much about that program, but for the most part, yeah, we all get it.
Right.
Do you know where the game will be broadcast tonight?
No, I do not.
Apple TV Plus.
Oh, there it is.
Apple TV Plus. And the Yankees have tried to – I've never heard this before. This is very I'm fascinated by this. The Yankees have tried to facilitate a trade with Apple to allow their normal TV crew, Michael Kay, right, David Cohn, Paul O'Neill, plus production support to put Friday's Yankees game on YES.
So they want, what they're trying to do there is set up the historic call by their guy. Because there's a very real chance that the historic call would be made by someone not affiliated with the Yankees, because it's going to be a National Apple crew.
Right. And
interesting.
Even if that isn't agreed to, and I think Apple is not very open to that idea, there's also another option on the table where Michael Kay, the voice, the TV voice of the Yankees, would be loaned to Apple TV Plus, and he would call Aaron Judge at-bats.
The at-bat. As a simulcast, or that he would go like...
He would be on Apple TV Plus.
Oh, okay. Wow. Now, that's really... And that's probably something unique to the maybe the sport of baseball. It's certainly not an NFL thing. I guess it would be... You would have that in a... You could have it in a hockey or NBA, NHL, NBA scenario. But the idea of a national crew taking over the local broadcast, obviously you'd have a, you know, the Yankees radio people will still have that
sure.
game, and
yeah.
the Red Sox radio people, but that regional broadcast, you know, if to relate this to a Rangers scenario, this is Apple taking over the broadcast from, say, Bally Southwest.
Man, and if I'm Apple, there's no way.
No.
I mean, this is
especially not as you're trying to create.
This is your first
yes.
year. You know, this is potentially a signature moment.
And this is their best leverage moment
yeah,
they've had all year.
Right? I mean, if you're a Yankees fan, if you're a diehard Yankees fan, heck, I mean, we should ping Jamie Lent and see if he has Apple TV Plus. And if not, is he tempted to get it for this?
Length. Yeah.
You know, that, to me, that is a gigantic test of streaming, right? In terms of the, like you said, the leverage that it has yeah. in terms of getting it.
I mean, yeah, we talked about it yesterday, Tuesday, I guess. The idea that Amazon released a memo saying that their Thursday night football game last week, which was their first of the exclusive broadcasts, right?
Right.
Amazon Prime Thursday night football. If you want to see it, you get one. You can go to restaurants and stuff, but if you're at the house, you're only seeing it one way. Amazon said that 3-hour period drew a record number of Prime signups.
How about that?
And yeah, and you and I had questions about that. Was that just people that were, you know, going, oh crap, I didn't realize they were serious about, you know, I don't know, just that the moment finally hit them or whatever, but it feels like this is Apple's moment here. Maybe not on quite as grand a scheme, but still an interesting
biggest
time for
moment for Apple since the original iPod was introduced.
Okay,
how about that?
I like it.
More tech talk next.
Podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast.
Hey there, Tech Talk on 973 and Double T 973.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today from Twin Peaks, Marsha Sharp Freeway in the Canyon West Shopping Center, home of the 29-degree draft beer. No better place in town to catch a ball game, and heck, the Rangers are on right now. You'll have NFL this evening. You'll have college football tonight. Of course, a full slate of college football on Saturday. Best place to catch all of those games, eat a great meal, and visit with your friends right here at Twin Peaks, Marsha Sharp Freeway in the Canyon West Shopping Center. We will have a pair of tickets to give away at some point in this program. We just have the one pair. We'll have one pair to give away tomorrow as well at the Overton. I don't know that we have anything special planned, but we'll give them away at some point in the program today, and it'll just be kind of one of those first-come, first-served deals. But we're not quite there at that point yet. So last week, Gus, I guess the station has begun this kind of inter-show competition, show versus show,
yep.
where you pick three games against the spread, and, you know, I guess at the end there's bragging rights. Well, and you had thrown out the idea, what if we just flip a coin?
You,
right?
you and me,
well,
we here, can be the control group.
Here's the problem with that,
okay,
as I
right.
see it.
Okay.
I'm not opposed to that in general, right? But, you know, we have 3 hours to fill every day. And flipping a coin just doesn't take up that much time.
What if we do like best 3 out of 5 on the coin flips per game?
I mean, that would take up more time. I don't know that it would be quite.
I just like the randomization of
it
all.
If unlike last week, this week we have some college football.
Some college, I saw that.
And I feel like that's much more my wheelhouse.
That helps. Yeah.
Not that I will be any better at picking those games. We went 1-2 last week. We picked all 3 underdogs in the NFL. The other shows involved with straight chalk, bunch of amateurs, but they did go 2-1. So here are the games.
I'm putting my nickels up.
Baylor at Iowa State. Cyclones are 3-point favorites here in this Big 12 opener for both teams.
I think I like the underdog there.
See,
you like the Cyclones.
I like the Cyclones.
Baylor. One thing about it, Baylor hasn't really been tested.
They played BYU.
They had that game, and then their other two wins were just. And so you don't really know. They haven't had a middle game yet.
Sure,
they had one really good road trip, and that probably helped them prep for this and noise and all of those sorts of things, and then just 2 home cupcakes. All right.
You know the last time that Iowa State lost a Big 12 home game?
No, I do not.
What were you doing on October 26, 2019?
Come on. Are you serious?
They've won 11 straight home games. When, from the moment that Brock Purdy was inserted into the lineup as the Cyclones' starting quarterback, they have won 15 of 16 games in the Big 12 at home. That includes ranked wins over Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and either Baylor or Texas. I can't recall either one. They've just been unstoppable at home, really.
And what do we think we know about these two teams? We think we know Baylor pretty good in the trenches on both sides of the ball. Not sure about quarterback. Is that an accurate little snapshot summary?
I mean,
would you agree with that?
I would certainly agree with the first part.
Because they've got a draft pick in their defensive line, like big nose guard DT type, 300-pounder that's on that top 50 list with Tyree Wilson, an NFL prospect.
Chapin hasn't just crushed it statistically, right? I mean, only 500 yards in 3 games, 4 touchdowns, 1 interceptions. He was okay against BYU. Didn't throw for a lot of yards, but didn't turn the ball over through the air. Decent completion percentage. And like you said, I don't know what you can really take from wins over Albany and Texas. Right? I guess you're right. We don't know what you have in like Chapin yet.
Yeah, I'm not dragging on him at all. I'm just saying if you're throwing out a question mark,
sure.
I would feel a lot better about what they have in the trenches on both sides of it than quarterback, at least as proven commodities.
I mean, probably the number that I would feel best about from a betting standpoint would be the under here. I mean, both of these teams have very, very good defenses. I don't know that Hunter Decker is the quarterback for the Cyclones is, the next coming. Mm-hmm. He might be very good. It's just hard to tell.
And Iowa State lost some skill around him last year as well.
They did. Although Xavier Hutchinson is very, very good at receiver. He might be one of the better receivers in the Big 12. I think you go with the home team here, man.
Okay. Cover, and it was a 3-point cover, is what you said?
Yes. Now, that's not the current line.
That's what you and I are being given.
Right.
What's the line now?
It's gone a little bit toward Baylor. It's 2.5.
Okay. All right. So
I think we're Cyclones minus 3.
And you're submitting the official.
Yes.
You're submitting.
Unless you want to. I don't want to like.
The Cyclones minus.
Minus 3.
Okay. Got it.
Next up is a game that I know that you and I are very interested in.
Yeah.
And we'll be paying very close attention to on Saturday morning. It's an 11 a.m. game. Same with Baylor and Iowa State. TCU going across town, take on the Ponies.
That's a good one, man. There's so much. I mean, because the subplots to that one are so good. The narratives, the Sonny Dykes, the the SMU knocking off TCU the last couple times.
I mean, imagine losing your coach to a program and then playing them three games later.
Yeah.
You know?
In a program 30 miles down the road.
I don't know if that's ever happened before.
I know. The only thing I could even come up with would be a sort of a Houston to Rice type scenario, but the gap there now at this point in time is really big. You know, Houston's in a much better situation, I think, than Rice is in football, certainly.
And I mean, I think TC was a complete wild card here. I have no idea how good or bad they are. Their win over Colorado, while good, right? It's not. I mean, you win by 25 points on the road against a Power 5 team. That's never bad. But, man, Colorado was dog water, dude.
Yeah,
they're terrible.
And that's the unfortunate part about it for TCU. They went up there and took care of business. And I remember you and I walking in here the following Monday or Tuesday or whatever going, hey, TCU looked pretty good. You know, blew them out in the second half, da-da-da-da. Now you're like, hey, that might be one of the worst two or three Power 5 teams in the land, them and Georgia Tech
now. Well, and it should be noted – that's the smallest margin of defeat so far this year for Colorado. They lost by 31 to Air Force and I think 34 to Minnesota.
And so what are we? And what's our spread on this one here?
It's TCU minus 2.
As at SMU.
It's in Dallas, yes.
I feel like I want to take TCU there.
Really? We're opposite sides, man. I mean, the Ponies, they had a pretty respectable showing against Maryland. Right,
yeah,
at Maryland.
34-27.
A pretty good Maryland team with, you know, a very good quarterback, you know, a lot of skill.
And SMU's recruited well over the last few years. We'll take them to cover then.
I'm not trying to force you.
No, dude. I'm the one wanting to flip a coin here, so you're good.
All right.
Here,
So we're getting 2 points with the Ponies.
I like it. We won't need them, clearly, though.
And the Rams at the Cardinals in the NFL. Arizona, the Fighting Cliff Kingsbury's, are 3.5-point underdogs.
And I sort of feel like that SMU-TCU game, it's a little bit one of those Big 12 reputation games a little bit. It would look bad if TCU goes over there and gets whacked,
yeah.
I think.
And I think especially over the last, like, 14 months, I've kind of leaned toward being a Big 12 guy, you know?
Yeah,
in general.
Well, I know. Sure. Yep.
Not this weekend, man.
You're all Ponies.
I want the Ponies to win that game.
See, somebody listed a pair of tickets for that game, like a pair of tickets, like $60,000.
Wow.
All right, so what was the other one? It's Cliff's guys.
Yeah, Rams at Cardinals. We got to pick the Cardinals here, right?
Yeah, and what do we got? Cardinals
3.5 points.
Cardinals 3.5-point underdog.
Yeah,
yeah, they got to take.
We're taking Arizona.
Cardinals got to cover. Let's
More
go.
Tech talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson. I'm Aaron Dickin. Joining you today, as we do every Thursday before home Texas Tech football games at Twin Peaks, Marsha Sharp Freeway in the Canyon West Shopping Center, home of the 29-degree draft beer. And with all of these sports going on, lots of sports, and heck, the Rangers just wrapped up a victory at home against the Angels. This is the best place in town to catch a game. Rangers just on, like I said, you've got West Virginia, Vatek tonight. You have NFL football tonight. You have, you know, Aaron Judge watch with home run number 61 on the season. A full slate of college football on Saturday, including Texas Tech's game against Texas. Stop on by Twin Peaks. Enjoy a delicious made-from-scratch meal. I recommend the Billionaire Bacon's Burger. Get some fried pickles.
Yep.
As an appetizer, drink some cold beer. Have a good time here at Twin Peaks in the Canyon West Shopping Center. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your hopes, your dreams, your dinner plans, your game predictions, all that stuff on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. You can also access that through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank.
Yep, Tom Stones crew's getting after it here in a couple hours across town. They open against open Big 12 play at home against West Virginia.
So, how about that?
Yep, it's that time of year.
We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Raiders Dad. Waffle cone till I die. I will let Clint get away with a lot of nonsense on here, but he can't tell me that stale cake cone is better than the crisp waffle I put up with your stupid KU stuff, but not this. Wow. Some fighting words there from Raiders Dad.
Speaking of KU, about an hour ago, they announced the sellout for Duke this Saturday. So if Clint doesn't have his tickets yet, he's in trouble.
Good for them.
Yeah, no, it really is. And
good for the Big 12. No.
Yes, absolutely.
No sarcasm, no shade there.
Good. And the matchup, I forget who it was. It was Kansas, Duke. Somebody and somebody are undefeated for the first time since 15 or whatever, yeah.
This on the Yates Flooring Center challenge from Bobby Hot Dogs. AD, did you whip up a batch of cheese weenies for the potluck yesterday? I feel like, Bobby, you have listened to the show long enough to know better.
That you would have participated in anything. Yeah. You didn't even participate in Levels thing.
No. Yeah. Well, because, I mean, I was going to do a show with him for 3 hours that same day.
Got all the goodbye you needed there. Yeah. And a free pizza didn't entice you, then.
No.
If you were out, yeah.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Just driving down a two-lane road with no shoulder and deep ditches. I'm in a tractor. Dude with cotton license plates gets upset at me. I guess I did not get out of his way quick enough. I bet his name was Steve. Well, I can guarantee you that if you're in a tractor, you're not getting out of anyone's way quick enough. You know?
On the other hand, if it's a road like he just described, you're dang right he's taking up the road.
Oh, yeah.
You got a problem with it?
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I think the Celtics thing is a bigger deal because of who his fiance is and how long they've been together.
Well, but that wouldn't be a reason why the Celtics would suspend the guy or the
right.
NBA would suspend the guy. I'm not saying he's scot-free in all the other areas, but there's probably an operating procedure, an OP, that sort of thing, a rule in place that says, hey, there will be no consorting with staffers. My word, consorting, probably not the way it's written there in the document. By the way, what's the punchline there? Who's fiance? Do you know?
It's someone that you would recognize.
Okay.
They've been together for like 12 years.
Ooh.
They have a child together. It's Nia Long. She's an actress. She was on Fresh Prince. She was on Big Mama's House, Boys in the Hood.
Wow. I have to look this up.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know who that is.
Why is the soccer team not called the Lady Raiders? Seems kind of sexist to genderize the other sports just because they have two squads per sport. Well, I think it's just to differentiate, you know, when you have, like, men's and women's basketball or whatever. I think there has been some movement in other universities to just kind of lump everybody under the same mascot umbrella.
The Red Raiders,
you know.
Whatever, yeah. That's interesting.
Wasn't there some kind of controversy, and I use that word very loosely, with the Tennessee women's basketball program? Did they
– Lady
was there
Balls?
Like a move to not make them the Lady Vols or something?
I don't remember that. I guess what sports would we – other than track and field and cross country – what other sports would we have that are offset by a men's sport? Obviously, basketball.
Right. I think that's it, right?
Yeah, because soccer, we don't have men's soccer here. You obviously don't have a pairing for volleyball and softball.
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think so. That's I guess the Lady Raiders as a brand was, I mean, certainly in place when they won the national championship, but probably – if I had to guess, I mean, I think I recall that when I was in school in the late 80s.
I don't have, like, super strong feelings about this. If I woke up tomorrow when Tech announced, and to be clear, this is, I have no reason to believe this is even being thought about, let alone considered or actually happening, but just since this person brought it up. Like, if the track programs were all called the Red Raiders, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't matter to me. Although I do think that I would feel a little bit odd and you know, dissatisfied, I guess, if they took away the Lady Raiders from the basketball program. To me, like, there's
some
history
there. Feels like there's a brand
there.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like there's a brand, like, probably akin to the Lady Vols. I know this. This is a close tangent to this conversation. Go to www.goladyraiders.com and it drops you to the texastech.com women's basketball page. And that was a thing that I think they marketed, man, it's probably been 15, 20, 25 years ago. I think it was during Coach Sharp's era. And I'm only saying that to say that website is still alive. So still certainly something they've embraced. Of course, once you create a website, if you ever let it drop, then it ends up, you know, it can end up, that page, can somebody else will snatch it up, and it can become something kind of sketchy. So probably a good redirect there. GoLadyRaiders.com is a quick way to get to Lady Raider basketball webpage. Boom. Helpful hints.
The more you know.
That's right. I mean,
you know, life hacks from Gus.
Walking around knowledge,
yeah.
Brother.
Love to get your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com or through the DoubleT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. We get this on the chat line. This person had a question. Scroll. What if the Celtics coach was having a consensual relationship with another guy on the staff? Would there still be a suspension, or would he be praised for being brave? No, I think that he would still be suspended.
Yeah, I think this is about the staff type situation.
Well, and subordinate. It's not about, like, you know, we're equals here on the old
right.
HR flow chart. But I think the thought process is if you are in a position of some authority and you engage in a relationship with a subordinate, that power imbalance is not appropriate.
Right. And that cuts across, I think, cuts across genders or even the female-male dynamic.
Right.
A female boss to a male superior. Hey, you see the news today as we watch this Valley Southwest broadcast above us. The Rangers just won. They're reporting some financial difficulties and, you know, looking like the Sinclair ownership group and all that. There's some bankruptcy rumors, things like that. That may be falling apart.
More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Tech Talk on Double T97.3 and Double T97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T97.3.com. We're joining you from Twin Peaks, Marsh Sharp Freeway in the Canyon West Shopping Center, home of the 29-degree draft beer. That's very, very cold. And there's no better place in town to catch a ball game. There was a Rangers game earlier today. We'll have West Virginia Va Tech later on tonight. That game gets started at 6:30 on ESPN. Here at Twin Peaks, you have big, big Yankees games coming up. Aaron Judge watches. The march to 61 is on there for Mr. Judge. And a full slate of college football on Saturday, obviously highlighted by Texas Tech's game against Texas at 2:30, which we'll have for you here on Double T97.3, of course, as always. Love to get your thoughts, your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T97.3.com or through the Double T97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. This in the chat line. Nuclear engineering started at Tech in 1953, and Tech went to Austin for funding, and Austin gave the funding to A&M, and the two professors from Tech had to move to College Station. That sounds just about right. Yeah, that sounds spot on. This on the chat line.
Definitely in 1950. I mean, definitely at that point in time, no doubt. No question.
This on the chat line. Glad my name is Steven and not Steve, or I'll be waiting for you, AD, after you get off of the radio. Yeah, it's a fictional Steve. It's a fictional Steve. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Renewable energy doesn't fit well in Lubbock. I just want all the things, really. I mean, I don't much care about veterinary stuff, but I'm glad the Tech has a vet school. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
We were talking about schedules earlier today because with conference play starting for so many teams, there are still some instances where you don't really feel like you have a good grasp of what, like, say, TCU is, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we discussed how for the Red Raiders, it seems like, not every year, but most years, it kind of ramps up in difficulty. All right, FCS team to open up, Group of Five team, game two, and then a Power Five test as your final non-conference tune-up before conference play. I'm curious, with the Big 12 moving now to some new schedule format, we don't know what it is yet still, despite it nearly being October, there's an opportunity to change up how most of the conference does non-conference games. And they could adopt, theoretically, the SEC model, right, where you play this kind of pseudo, basically a bye week in November when you play, you know, Virginia Military Institute or, you know, Arkansas Pine Bluff or whatever. And that way it kind of breaks up the grind of conference play. Not necessarily very entertaining, you know, for a mid-November game, but still it kind of helps you stay a bit healthier and fresher going into the final stretch of conference games. I'm curious, would you be okay with that kind of change?
Yeah, I would. I mean, in Tex, it's not unprecedented. Tex had that. We had a game against Lamar maybe in November.
Well, in 2010, you had two games, two non-conference games in November. You had Weber State and then Houston.
And there you go. Weber State's what I'm thinking of, not Lamar. The flip side of that was that we had Texas on September 10th, 19th, whatever it is. And so, every year the national media will sort of dog on the SEC, and I don't really care. But, you know, somebody's on Twitter, nice Western Carolina on November 15th. Going, yeah, but, hey, don't forget back on September 10th when, you know, Alabama played, or Labor Day weekend when Alabama opened with, or Auburn opened with Oregon, you know. So it's usually a trade-off. I don't think that you can point to one of the other of those schedules. It's really a matter of timing with that sort of FCS weaker opponent coming. You know, it's just a little bit jarring because you're kind of geared up for, hey, another week of conference action. Like, nope, Bama, West Carolina, 11 a.m. SEC Network.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Just had to explain what suck it means to my kiddo. Thanks, Eddie. You're welcome.
if it's just now happening.
Yeah. This in the chat line. Lubbock has one of the premier climate change scientists and a very impressive wind energy program. Renewables fits fine. This in the chat line. To my knowledge, the reason why SoapSud's rear end is pointed 45 degrees south of east toward College Station was because of the nuclear engineering grav.
I didn't know that. I just knew it was pointed that direction.
I'm all for being, like, bitter about any kind of, like, grievance.
Oh, sure.
And so if that's – I would love to know more and kind of add that to my long list of things to be upset about.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I feel like that's a – frankly, that should have been covered in freshman orientation.
Doesn't take much.
In 1953, the biggest injustice to ever hit West Texas occurred. When our fledgling but impressive nuclear engineering program was cut off at the knees by those bitter, angry folks in College Station.
We got nuclear knees, waist strain.
And we've been...
Yeah, we got back at them, though, with the vet school. There it is, right there. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, pal.
Yeah, but I mean... I feel like... I mean, what's the most kind of dangerous animal that a vet typically would, you know... deal with on a day-to-day basis? like a horse maybe.
We talked about this, dude. The dog, the skunk that got its head stuck in the cup, and the dude picked it up and like saved it right there. Somebody's coping with a rabid skunk.
Is that supposed to be a plus? That sounds like a negative to me. I mean, they have nukes, man.
It's a reactor. It's not the actual.
Hey, close enough.
Not the actual.
Close enough.
Again, all I'm seeing is the Bugs Bunny cartoon with the guy, like, with the little coyote guy looking in there at a red button that's glowing that says nuclear reactor. Hey, I'm going to push that. And then he gets hit by a boulder.
You're going to cause a prank where someone writes Acme on their reactors over their guts.
Exactly. Acme nuclear reactor.
You know what Acme stands for? At least in the Looney Tunes context.
Okay, I don't. I just thought
Clint,
it was.
Clint, any guesses?
I thought
and
it
I'm
was.
I'm going to take you at your word. You're not Googling this furiously.
I would have thought it was just a substitute for like widgets or something. This sort of a fill-in word that sounds like a company name.
Acme, a company that makes everything.
There we go. I like it.
I was going to guess a company.
Beautiful.
But I did not have the M and the E.
Yep, there you go.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah. Love to get your thoughts and comments today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com or through the DoubleT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. Really, you look at this Big 12 slate, it's not necessarily as exciting as Week 2, where you had kind of Power 5 test after Power 5 test up and down the schedule for most of your conference peers. But it's still pretty exciting. And it starts tonight with the Mountaineers in Blacksburg taking on rival Virginia Tech. Hokies are a 2.5-point home underdog. And, man, this seems like a very challenging spot for the Mountaineers from a kind of perception standpoint because, man, you could easily go and lose that game and mm-hmm. be 1-3.
Yeah,
it's not like – is there really a bad loss right now on that schedule? I don't know that – I mean, losing to Kansas in overtime is not great, but that seems far less kind of severe or obscene than it would have maybe before the season. You lost by 7 at Pitt, top 20 Pitt team. And then Vatek is a Power 5 team at home, a tough place to play. I mean, they could easily be 1-4, dude. They get Texas next in Austin on October 1st.
Yeah, and that's a we've got first-year head coach at Vatek and Neil Brown that's,
Neil Brown desperately needs a victory tonight.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Desperately.
And that's Graham Harrell there, obviously, as the offensive coordinator and others. Yeah, not too good. You know, there's no – this Big 12 slate this weekend, there's no bad matchup on there. There's not,
I agree.
There's nothing to just completely toss out. Yeah, I mean, every one of these, either a compelling conference matchup or that TCU at SMU is interesting. Even Duke and Kansas. I mean, we just talked about it. It's their first sellout in a while, and, there's some intrigue there.
You've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3. Check out DoubleT973.com for more from Lubbock Sports Station.